And something switched in my brain when I went from working for a Fortune 50 company to a boutique logistics company. I learned a ton. And I remember thinking, hey, instead of working for this company, I work with. And that mindset really helped me to understand the business of being, you know, and building a business within a business.
Hey there, friend. You're listening to the Hot Mess Hotline, and this is Stephanie Krevens. You are totally in the right place if you are an ambitious leader who wants to pull off a big transformational project. We teach you how to lead with strategy, innovation, flexibility, and focus for new business results, digital transformation, tough decisions, resilience, and so much more. Whatever you're working on, we've got hard-earned lessons from executives to make you more adaptable and to put into practice what they're teaching us as soon as this episode is over. Today's conversation is with a faculty member of mine, Desiree Garcia. She is one of those lights in the world that just makes the world better. She and I have been connected and have been personal and professional friends for many, many years, and it is a great honor to bring her gifts to the clients that we serve here at the Change Architects at Stephanie Krevens & Company. Desiree Garcia works with top-level executives, directors, managers, and business owners for us to provide transformational coaching, team-building support, and leadership development. She is certified in many, many tools. In particular, she delivers DISC, the 5 Behaviors of a Cohesive Team, for us, as well as other team-building activities. Specifically, the reason Des is on our team is because she does team-building activities that aren't cheesy, that don't leave you leaving the day rolling your eyes. And what she does is she creates connection, collaboration, purpose, and ultimately helping the team become aligned and cohesive to achieve shared business results together. We don't do these team building activities for all the warm and fuzzies. We do them because the teams that we work with must deliver value for the organization. And oftentimes, team building is one of the first steps that they need in order to do that more effectively. So let's dig into this awesome conversation with Desiree Garcia so you can learn more about how she coaches and how she thinks about coaching. Let's go.
All right, Des, I am so excited to have this conversation with you and for our people to learn about all your magicalness. Before we get into talking about your skill set and your strengths and your experience, I thought our listeners would love to know how we first met, just to set the stage for our relationship and the amazingness they get when working with you.
Oh my God. This is like, I love this story. I might butcher it a bit because it's been a while.
Yeah.
But in essence, I was a speaker at a retreat of sorts. Yes. It wasn't like, you know, any place sexy or fun. And during my presentation, I said something to the effect of, well, it's not like anybody would want to come up here and do a dance. And your hand shot up. And I think you might have even come out of your seat. And it was like, I would. And I'm like, what? Like, there said nobody anywhere on the planet. And I laughed and I was like, I want to know you after this is over. Yeah. And then that was all she wrote, because once that happened, I'm like, okay, this one's going to stay in my circle.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I remember in particular, because I do love to dance and I'm very bad at it, but I do love it. It was, you were teaching about happiness and joy, and mm-hmm. you said, you know, hardly anyone has a happy dance, or who lets their happy dance out. And I was like, I let my happy dance out all the time. Yeah. Are you kidding me? I invented one. Like, for such occasions. How do you all not have a happy dance? That's what I couldn't comprehend.
Exactly. And thus the happy dance mug.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. And then all of our team members gets this calls for a happy dance, because our people are awesome and they deserve a happy dance. Yes.
You know, it would be interesting for you to have a happy dance that goes along with all the faculty.
Oh,
there's a stretch goal for you.
Yes, you got it. And everyone deserves their own unique one.
Exactly.
To reflect our relationship.
Yeah, it would be like an interpretive happy dance.
Okay. And do. Be on the lookout for that video series. Oh my gosh. Yes. We got to keep it fun around here. Why else are we doing this work?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Exactly
ain't fun, right. Don't do it.
Mm-mm. All right. So let's talk about you. And my first question for you, because I want people to know right up front the success that you create. All right. So I want to get into what success you're able to create, because I want our listeners to know from the get-go what you're able to do with our clients through the partnership of coaching. And so what are your two favorite success stories from working with clients that tie together people and change and coaching?
Mm, love this question. And you know, in both of my examples, it has to do with the courage of that person, the person being coached.
Yes.
So first story, I was working with a high potential leader, right? So this person identified as a high potential person. However, I sat down with his boss and he said, I'd like to get coaching for this person. I'm like, oh, great. Why? He's like, well, unfortunately, I'm going to exit him from the company. And I was like, oh, okay. I'm not a career coach. So I'm not the best person for you to talk to. Let me introduce you. And he's like, no. He said, I would like for you to work with him because I want him to have a great transition and a soft landing.
Mm.
I'm like, okay.
That's very and kind.
Yeah. And I said, so tell me about some of the issues. And issues were, you know, failed projects, not completely engaged, showing up when he wanted to.
Mm.
You know, huddles at 9, he'd show up at 10:30. Like, and so I said, all right. I said, well, and he said, I've tried everything for 3 years. I'm like, that's a long time.
That is a long
time. So I said, okay, it's good to know kind of what wasn't happening well, et cetera. So we got ready to part. And I said, hey, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure. I said, what if he turns things around? And he laughed so hard. Like it was the biggest guffaw ever. I think everybody in the coffee shop was like, something fun is going on over there. And he said, that is not going to happen. Like I have literally done everything for 3 years. It's not happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trust that. Good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as coaches, you gotta have hope.
Always, always, always.
You know, I could have said, okay, if you tried everything, let's not do this. Mm-hmm. So anyways, I sat down with this younger person and I said, let's just start off with, why are we here, do you think? He's like, I'm not doing a very good job at my work. I'm like, okay. I'm like, would you want to talk about like how to make that change? You know, your choice. He goes, actually, yeah. I said, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, where do you see yourself down the road? Like in terms of your growth. He's like, he goes, you know, I just want to be a contribution to the organization. I want to be a good team player. Like that is awesome. Mm-hmm. And what I'm asking is, where do you see yourself? Like, where do you like elevation wise, like next level? And he looks and he says, I just want to do a good job and be a contribution.
Mm.
So I'm thinking, how can I ask this question in a way that he gets it?
Mm-hmm.
So I ask him again, he gives me the same response. And then it was like, smack my hand on my forehead. Like he's telling me exactly what he wants to do. So I said, okay, I hear you. Are you doing that? And there was a long pause and he said, no.
Mm.
And I said, would you like to talk about how we might be able to get you there? He's like, actually, I would. So it was a huge, like who was coaching who? It was a huge lesson for me that his goals, his objectives are the goals and objectives.
Yes.
It turned out 3 months later, he walked into coaching and he said, hey, my boss wants me to give you a hug. I said, what for? He goes, because I'm like leading the team. I'm doing a great job. I said, tell him to hug you. You've done the work. So yes. That was one. Like,
yes.
I just freaking loved like he owned it. What was work, what was not working for him, and he made the changes.
Yeah. And what a powerful lesson in, you know, while as human beings, us too, we're very ambitious. And as coaches, we step into a more neutral space and it's, no, this is what he wanted. And that's exactly where you met him at. And that's what you walked him through. Mm-hmm. And that's what he needed in the moment. And while we hope his ambitions get higher and higher, whatever that means for him in the moment, that's what he needed. And that's what you helped craft for him.
Yeah, it it turns out his ambitions did.
He ended
leading a team, and I think he was there for another 5 years.
Then he was
like plucked out from one of their clients and said, "We really want him to work with us."
Oh! So. That's like bringing tears to my eyes. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So courage on his part. Second one was, again, just an incredible amount of courage. I was working with a senior leader who did a 360, came back. It was literally one of the worst I've ever seen in terms of actually his boss said everyone on the executive team wants him out.
Mm.
Okay. And what had happened, he was incredibly ambitious and was kind of running over the rest of the senior leadership team to get what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And really didn't recognize that, hey, it's like there's a way to do this and collaborate and be cohesive. And instead of competition for resources, let's have some cooperation for resources. So the 360 came back and it was kind of eye-opener for him. And he's like, "I'm kind of toast here, aren't I?" I said, "Unless you were ready to do something about it." And he's like, "Well, how do I turn this thing around?" I said, "It's going to take time for people to trust that this is going to be consistent work that you're going to do to change things."
Yes.
And I said, "Do you want a suggestion on how to start the process?" And he said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I think that you should go into your senior leadership team, and I think you should tell them all, hey, I heard you. I've made a huge mistake. I'm ready to do the work. And I know it's going to take work to mend the relationships. And here's what you can count on from me." And I got the eyes as big as saucers look and the oonk.
Yes.
I said, "Just a recommendation."
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. And he went about making those changes. And I'll never forget, we had a meeting, a couple months after with his boss, and his boss said, "You know, you are changing things. The expectation is high." He said, "But I want to tell you what you did when you came into that meeting and you fell on the sword." He said, "That was one of the most potent things I've seen someone do." And it was kind of like, time slowed down. Yeah. And you get goosebumps over that. And again, that took an incredible amount of courage to be that vulnerable.
Yes.
And own up to the mistakes that he'd made.
Beautiful. In part, he could do it because he had you to come back to and be like, "Okay, oh God, I did it. Okay, what next is?"
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and to, you know, talk about, hey, what is working well?
Yes.
What isn't working as well? How can you reapproach and really build those relationships? And again, took a lot of courage to do the work and be consistent.
Yes. Oh, those are beautiful stories. I love those.
It's why we do this work, right? It's like, I haven't figured out how to outgive the gift that I get to come alongside people and help them realize their potential.
That's a beautiful way to put it. Agreed completely. Mm. And so. You're magical.
They are, but thanks.
Yes, for saying that about. You know, speaking of coaching, we bring coaching to the world. And I know from my own journey, both buying, you know, signing up for life coaching many years ago, continuing to engage in coaching as a person, as a human that needs it, and selling coaching, that it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing to buy. It's a resource that you don't realize you need it until you discover it, in my opinion, and oftentimes, right? And so how do you answer the question, what is coaching?
Yeah, it, I rely on, and I think this quote has been attributed to several people, but I think it was John Whitmore that said it. Coaching is about unlocking a person's potential and really helping them to discover, or like rather than telling them or teaching them. And that's not the quote verbatim. It truly is like I had someone say one time, I don't know, I talked about that quote and they're like, well, that's kind of trite. And it does sound a little woo, but
it does, and
given the opportunity, so many of us can discover our answers and discover maybe the next, maybe not the whole path, but the next step that we can take if we're in a place where we're being asked good questions and have the opportunity to pause and reflect and discover. And so I think coaching is, it's very behaviorally based upon the other person. And certainly there are times when, you know, like in my example, it's like, hey, I have a suggestion. Do you want to hear it? You know, hey, I've been in a similar situation. Here's what I've done. Or I've worked with someone. Hey, what are your thoughts on this? So there is a bit of that. And I also think that we do really have a lot of the answers, you know, within us.
Yes. Yes. I believe the coaching session helps remind us of the noise that is in our life and other people's expectations that sometimes we pay more attention to than that small, still voice that lives in our heart, in our intuition, wherever that might be for us. Coaching is the space that allows us to really hear that and then be brave enough to create an action plan to make it happen once you go back outside of that session.
Exactly. And you said it earlier really well. Having someone come alongside you gives you a different level of confidence that you can do those things that feel really foreign or maybe even scary.
Agree completely. Yep. So connecting coaching to the specific way that we leverage it in change management, digital transformation, business transformation challenges, what's one thing that you see organizations getting wrong about change?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind to me is the emotional impact of change on the people in their team.
Agree completely.
And I think that when you are leading, looking at making a change, most change, it's like, hey, this is going to be a huge benefit to us down the road. And the whoever is leading that change initiative, they have a little more time to see and digest that and go through the process of change. And it's very easy to forget that not everyone gets there in the same way at the same time, and that we all have a different journey. And I think it can be overwhelming too, to consider managing that process.
I agree. Yeah. And it's that leader has had time to scope a project with another consultant, think, you know, have six months of meetings about whatever this plan is. Then they go to unveil it and they expect employees to get themselves on board right away. And what we forget is in that moment, in the subsequent moments, employees are thinking about loss of autonomy, loss of control, uncertainty. And these are some of our glitches in our matrix as humans that we need support in getting over. Yes. And that's why leaders need to invest in that communication of the why, acknowledging the emotion behind it, acknowledging that. I don't like to use the words change as scary because I don't, that's not categorically true, nor do I believe it. But there's an element of change that, yes, I made these business decisions and that currently is going to take away some autonomy from you, and we'll recalibrate it and you'll get it back. It's just a temporary pause in some of these decisions that you get to make, but that doesn't lessen your value to the organization. And the employee hears, my value is being lessened in the organization. Oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. They go into their limbic brain, their lizard brain, and it goes, I'm gonna lose my job. My spouse is gonna divorce me. I'm gonna lose my house. My whole life's gonna go to because you decided to invest in this XYZ digital optimization project.
Exactly. And that is, that's a beautiful example of where our brains go, our emotional brains go to lowest common denominator.
Yes.
Am I safe or unsafe? And I'm going to choose unsafe. And oh my God.
Yep.
Not good.
And it's not the leader's fault. No. You know, I'm not saying that, but it's, can the leader lead emotions more strategically? Heck yes, they can.
I love what you said. Like, communicate, educate people on the process, ask, check in. How are you doing? What are the questions that you have? What are the things that would help you to feel, you know, more safe? And P.S., I know it's going to take a little bit of time for you to make that transition. And here's the support that we have for you to do that.
Yes.
Simple things.
They are.
Simple, not always easy. Like, that's right.
Yes.
We get
that. And they happen in micro moments, not just the big releases of information too.
Yes.
Mm. How would you describe your coaching style, and what do clients get when they work with you? What kind of coach do they get?
I think comes from years of being a competitive athlete. I consider myself a very goal-oriented coach. And so I, like my example, I got retaught, you know, with the young man that I was coaching. I want to understand what success measures are for you, not my agenda, your agenda. And success can look different for each person depending upon, let's say, their organization, the culture within the organization, their team, what their, you know, what's their why and their purpose. So there's a lot that can go into that mix. Mm-hmm. And each individual is going to define that with their own brand and personality and experiences. Mm-hmm. So knowing, you know, how are we going to know that we're on a trajectory towards the success measures that you've defined? Right. And so I want to know that right up front. And then we can look at our progress and see how we're doing. And we can also see, hey, are we on track? Are we off track? Let's say a lot of things have happened in the organization, and maybe in terms of priorities or headspace has gotten, you know, you've gotten focused on some other things. Mm-hmm. We can use those goals and success measures to also pull us back to, okay, what are our development objectives again? Mm-hmm. And how might you even do those things in the midst of the other priorities that have popped up?
Yes. And what I hear under what you've described too is you inadvertently have a focus on authenticity as well. You help people understand how to show up in the moment, whatever the moment it is, as who they want to be, because they've sat with you through that discovery of who they really want to be and how they want to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as you know, in some coaching scenarios, we're getting input from others as well. Whether it's, you know, we talked about 360 or their boss or the team.
That's
to
right.
Help define those success measures. And the other thing that I love accountability. Mm-hmm. I think it's an act of generosity. And so being able to hold people accountable to the things that they said they're going to do, which will help them again to achieve the goals that they've set out to achieve.
I love it. Mm. All while you're part of the team, because yes, goals and accountability. It's a good stuff. What coaching training did you go through to get here?
I actually went through a transformational leadership development, kind of a course. It was something I did on my own. And in that work, which I was involved for, gosh, I think in all in maybe 3 or 4 years. And during that process, I got kind of plucked out of the crowd and was told, hey, we think you would be a great facilitator and a coach. And by that time, I had already sat there and thought, gosh, if I had the guts, I would do this. But there was like no stinking way I was going to pursue it. And of course, as fate would have it, I got plucked out, and I was kind of like, you talking to me? It's like my heart is in my throat. Meanwhile, I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. Here's how you know you found your passion. I started to volunteer nights and weekends. I was still working in my corporate gig, which a completely different field, and volunteering time, nights and weekends. So I knew I found my passion then, and then eventually started business. And then I make it a point, Steph, every year to add in, like, how can I continue to make myself better? So I did a certification through Corporate Coach U. I'm certified in, like, I teach a couple of coaching courses through another organization, Boxer Crayons. So I continually am adding to my tool belt, if you will, of resources mm-hmm. to keep me in that development phase too, because I have goals and my success measures are, you know, how do I continually make myself better so that I can be more effective for others?
Yes. I love that. And so just to connect the dots so folks have an understanding of your corporate experience before you became a coach and a facilitator and a trainer, what was your corporate career? What did you learn there?
Man, number one thing that I learned, the value of relationship building. I mean, I think broadly speaking that business is all about relationships and relationships are all about trust.
Yes.
So fundamentally, that's one big thing that I learned. I was in the logistics business. So I started out in operations, thank God, because it really helps me to understand the folks that I work with that are in operations. So I started out with Roadway Express. I was in operations at their break bulk and consolidation center. First job, get this, out of college, I am managing Teamsters. So this guy rolls up on a tow motor and he looks at me and he's like, what the hell do you think you're going to teach me? And I was like, nothing. I'm like, I'm going to watch you and learn as much as I can. And he started laughing at me, rode off. I learned a lot doing that. And with that organization, got promoted a few times and they promoted me. I was not happy into sales. I was like kicking and screaming. But again, thank God, because if you have your own business and you don't want to sell anything, you better go back to the corporate world or something. Saying,
because you ain't got a business.
Yeah. Well, you might have a card, but you're not going to eat.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You might have a business card and a website. You're not going to eat anything. So they sent me into sales. And then eventually I actually went to work with Kathy Langham Transport. Mm-hmm. She has one of the largest logistics companies in Indianapolis, at least, or in Indiana. And working with Kathy was like, it was a little bit of like getting an MBA. And something switched in my brain when I went from working for a Fortune 50 company to a boutique. I call it a boutique logistics company, mm-hmm. which it grew massively. Yes. I think we had 7 people when I started, 120 when I left. I learned a ton. And I remember thinking, hey, instead of working for this company, I work with. And that mindset really helped me to understand the business of being, you know, and building a business within a business. And again, like, learning to work with others and, you know, what it takes for operations and sales, you know, to have the same goals and how do you get over, you know, how do you work through conflict and, you know, how do you give feedback to people? So all those like blocking and tackling skills, I was able to get some experience in, which helps with coaching.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and for you and for our clients as well, like changing the narrative of I work for conveys a certain power dynamic that is, I don't think relevant, not, I don't think helpful, but the I work with piece allows us to, I think, recognize our own power that we have mm-hmm. In whatever role we have in an organization and not place undue burden on our bosses to produce something for us that is not their job to do.
That's exactly right. It implies some ownership and responsibility.
Yes.
You know, that I'm collaborating with you and we want the same thing.
Yes. And just to circle back, you know, the power of relationships, and relationships are based on trust. None of us get to do any of our work without anybody else.
Right.
Ever.
That's exactly right.
Ever.
Never.
Yeah. And even if you hate your job, like, I hope that you can see the, I hope you don't hate your job, but if you do, like, I hope you can appreciate the work that has gone into creating the company that pays for your livelihood. Like, just that level of gratitude can switch your dynamics about everything that has gone on before you were there and will go on after you are there. You are a person to deliver value in this place and time with other people that also deliver value.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's a great point. Even if you know your time there has come to an end.
Yes.
Still, there's the opportunity to very much appreciate all of the shoulders with which you stand on that
yes.
got that organization where it is.
Yes, absolutely. So for those listening in, what do you think is important for them to consider when choosing a coach?
You know, fit. I think that when people have an opportunity to meet their coach, so typically it's on video, sometimes in person these days, right? What a switch we've made. But that like, notice if like there's a click for you, there's a fit, there is some synchronicity. I know like for some people, like gut instinct is a little bit woo-woo, but I think if you check in, it's like, did I have a fit? And then also thinking about, you know, what are your challenges? What are the things that you want to achieve? I'm also listening for what do they want to accomplish? And have I either been there, done that? Do I have the experience to help them?
Mm-hmm.
Or have I had the opportunity to work with someone and gotten them there? So I'm looking for fit too, because I'm not a yes for every person.
Yes.
And so that mutual fit is really, really important.
Yes, agree completely. And it's, you know, some folks, you know, there's a point in your career where you need a coach that you sync with, where it's like, this is a place I can rest. Mm-hmm. And that's an important relationship. And there are places in our career where it's like, this person's going to call me to the next level. And your gut is going to be able to tell you where on that continuum that coach might be for you. Yes. And then you can say, is that what I want and need right now? There's no wrong answer. There's no right answer. It's just what's the best answer for you? That's what you need to ascertain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
You kind of alluded to it in the previous answer, but what are the types of leaders and teams that you think you're a best fit for?
Leaders and teams that have some why, purpose, investment in their development. Because in order to achieve the things that you haven't yet achieved, it takes courage. And so you have to be willing to get outside your comfort zone. You have to be willing to do things that feel foreign, uncomfortable, and maybe that you don't want to do. And so it's you know, kind of their coachability index. Mm-hmm. And also with a team, what's their appetite for developing? What's their tolerance for really stretching themselves beyond where they have before?
That makes great sense. Two last questions, and I'll let you get back to changing your part of the world there. What's your top go-to powerful question for clients?
I'll go for low-hanging fruit. The best question to ask in the moment, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. So that's not really a good question. But I'll say, one I've already alluded to, what does success look like for you? Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other one I'm going to borrow from Mike Obunge-Stainier, The Coaching Habit. I love his question. What is the real challenge here for you? Because, you know, we can get presented with a lot of challenges in the context of a coaching session. And sometimes our tendency can be to focus on the things we can't control and we cannot influence, i.e. other people, you know, what's happening in the economy, you know, many other things outside of our control.
Regulation changes.
Exactly.
Shifts in technology. Yes.
Yeah. And that question brings it back to, hey, we can focus on you because you're the only person in the room with me.
Yep.
And so what's challenging for you? Like, I freaking love that question.
Yes. Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you'd like to share? Anything you think is important for folks to know about you?
You know, I did not set out when I started my business. I said, I'm going to coach, I'm going to do team building, I'm going to do leadership development. And I think because I didn't know that I would have the opportunity to partner and collaborate with others like you. And so to me, what a gift to be able to be a part of your team. And it's one of those things that keeps giving back, because being around you and your other faculty it's given me an opportunity to up level and want to up level my game. And so the thing that I would say, like, about me is maybe use that as an example if you're listening. You know, what are some things that you could do that are maybe not what you originally intended, but if you're open to those possibilities, what impact could it make for you?
Yes. Love that. The universe, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, God, choose your label there. Like, the magic of that is way beyond our understanding until you take a step and take another step. And it just starts unveiling new possibilities when you take action first. Agree completely.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Totally. And all of this stuff happens through relationships. All of it.
Yeah, it really does.
Because I feel the same way about you. Like, you up-level me in ways that I never saw coming. I never thought I could give up caffeine for 11 days.
By the way, that was not a coaching objective.
I know.
People are like, okay, nope. She is a hard no. Yeah, for me.
That doesn't have to fit into coaching.
But it could.
It could. Just every time I say I will never, guess what I end up doing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
There's your brand success measure.
That's right. Well, you're so awesome, Des. Thank you so much for sharing your insights, your wisdom, your experience, your you-ness with us today.
Well, thanks. And I thank you for inviting me. And it's great to be a part of your team. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, my friend, through our work, I promise our clients nothing but the best. And I know you can hear Des's expertise, experience, passion for this work shine through in our conversation. So now that you know more about our faculty, if you're not with us already, please reach out and let's have a chat about how you might be able to work with Desiree Garcia. Or if you're already here because you're a client, you're listening in, you want to get to know her better, let us know if you want to interview her for your coaching engagement. All right, now let's get back to those impactful projects demanding our best selves, and I'll see you soon. Mm-hmm.